So we are talking about module number 7. What to do when you are in a desperate situation. Are you excited about this module right now?
Oh, yes.
It sounds very interesting.
Okay, so I wanted to talk about this because there will be people who will say, look, reality right now is being so terrible with me. I cannot focus on the inside because I have so many bad things happening to me already. Maybe, you know, like my financial don't work. I'm struggling with money, or I'm in a depression because I just had a nasty breakup, or my health is in terrible condition. I'm in a situation where there's no light, so to say. There's no positivity in my life. And I cannot think about smiling at the mirror when the mirror has been terrible to me for a while or in this moment. And I mean, I get it. I think everyone through the life, they pass through a bad period. I've been in bad periods myself, and I know how it is. I'm sure you guys have been dealing maybe in the past with some bad moments as well. And I understand it's pretty challenging and it's pretty hard. And I wanted to dedicate a module for something like that, because we are living in times that are pretty difficult. It is the best of times. It is the worst of times, you know, so, or maybe even more poetic. It is the worst of times. It is the best of times. So it is difficult. It is difficult. But like I said, life doesn't give you at any point something that you can't handle. It's impossible, because I mean, if it's too much, you just finish life. I mean, you have an accident or you die or something like that, and you just go back to the spirit, and you may say, oh, okay, that was a tough experience, like from a nightmare, right? Like when you have a nightmare, maybe it's difficult, and then you wake up like, oh, such a difficult dream I had, something like that, and then you go back in a good state slowly, or I'm not sure exactly how it works on the other side, maybe faster, but then you get the opportunity to have another life again. So here, like I said, it's important to understand that whatever the situation is, you can handle it. I know it may be difficult, it may be challenging, but it's possible. And the benefit is that it will build you a lot of spiritual muscle, a lot of emotional muscle, a lot of winning muscle, so to say. There was a saying that comes to mind, tough times don't last, tough people do. And the important thing is to be able to calm down. And we talked about inner peace in the last module, in the module before that. And it's important to get as much as possible to some peace, because whenever you get to peace, you get to clarity. Usually in situations that are challenging, people try to do too many things. People in a way get in a panic mode, and they start doing a lot of actions that are not, let's say, are not the best. And you can imagine, for example, how if you are in a mud, many people get in a panic mode and they try to get out. They get in a time constraint, and like, I have to get out. I have to get out. I have to get out. And somehow they go more and more into the mud. Or I can give an example with a car, because I remember that from my childhood. If you go through a mud section and your car is stuck, you don't have to accelerate like crazy, because you'll get more and more stuck in that situation with that car. What you need is take some time. Breathing helps. Whenever you have emotional situations that are very challenging, you are dealing with a lot of emotions, panic, anxiety, depression, the kind of emotions that are, let's call them, pretty difficult to handle. And I can list some of the emotions. I will find a list that was very good, and I will just read from it. Bear with me for a second. So when you're dealing with shame, with guilt, with grief, with fear, with anger, with apathy, with humiliation, with a lot of regret, with cravings, with hate, with anxiety, with misery, so to say, it's best to not take action immediately. The most important step in the beginning is to get into a state of reason. I mean, we can look at some people that commit terrible things when they are in an unbalanced state. And I can give examples of crimes, of, you know, like stuff like that. Usually what happens is those people are in a bad emotional state and they lack reason. And so it's good to observe those emotions to understand they are not working for you. These are emotions that don't benefit you, and you can change them. It may not be instant, but you can calm down and say a mantra like, everything that I feel right now, I accept fully and completely. So you can take responsibility, and you can have the ability to respond, ability to respond, and get to reason. Okay, so reasonable, it would be to find the most effective and efficient action that you can do to make a change. And I can refer to one book that I referred in the past, The One Thing. And it is one book about efficiency, about productivity. It's one of the best books that I recommend when it comes to business skills, to management, to operational abilities. And basically pick the most important project or task and focus with 100% at it. You give it your all. So in a way, it's the same here. You can choose the action or the courses of actions based on excitement, based on importance. So let's say you're in a difficult financial situation. Calm down and see exactly what is the most exciting and important action that you can do about that. But don't underestimate calming down, because I can give an example. In poker, in professional poker, you hear about the term tilt. Let's say somebody loses a hand out of bad luck or something like that, and they go on tilt, which means they believe, they have the false beliefs that that table or that game owes it to them. Like, look, I was having a great hand, and because of bad luck, I just lost a hand. So now I will just be very, very aggressive, and I will bet all the way, because this time I have to win. And it doesn't work like that. You know, a lot of money are lost because of tilt in that game. So make sure you take the time, because chances are you're not starving. You have ability to get food. You have ability to stay with a friend, to stay with your family. So you can recover emotionally in worst case scenario, or in case it's a situation with a lover or something like that, in case that person was, I'm trying to get to the worst situations here. So let's say some person, you love them and they don't want to hear from you anymore. Maybe they blocked you. Maybe, you know, you have police restrictions or whatever. I'm trying to think about the worst here, right? Because if it works for the worst, it will work in lesser bad cases as well. So calm down, realize that maybe it was not meant to be, because if it was meant to be, it would be already, and accept that person doesn't want you anymore. I know it's hard to digest. I know it's very, very difficult sometimes to face reality, but maybe if one door closes, another door opens, and it will lead to a room that is even more beautiful than the one that you've been to. maybe a better partner will await for you. So I'm sure you can accept that if the situation is so bad when it comes to your love life right now, the partner, in a way, wasn't perfect for you. If it was a perfect partner for you, it wouldn't have reached to a situation that was very, very bad. It wouldn't have got to this point. So accept that the other person wants to break up, or I don't know what the problem is exactly, but like I said, I'm trying to deal with the most tragic situations, and build inside emotional peace. And the more emotional peace you can build inside, the more emotional love for yourself you can build. Because when you're dealing with negative vibrations, it's easy to get into a state where you start hating yourself and stuff like that. And this actually gives the signal in the universe to give more negative reflections to you. And, you know, unfortunately, there are people who have a very, very difficult life because they don't know how to change the world starting within themselves. Or I can give the example of a bad health situation. Let's say someone has a terminal disease, according to doctors. Maybe autoimmune disease, or maybe cancer, or maybe some very difficult form of other illness. Start with accepting that you are still alive. So anytime you are alive, you have a chance of fighting. Start with nutrition. Start with the author Anthony William that I gave reference to. And I can say you have a very high chance of healing yourself if you are still alive. It may be challenging. It may be difficult. It may be difficult to change your habit when it comes to food. I know how important food is for us and how difficult it is to renounce of some of your favorite foods like ice cream or, I don't know, eggs or some other things like that. But you have to get to reason. You have to get to peace and to choose what is more important, your health or having for a couple of minutes the experience of enjoying some of your favorite foods. If you look at it from that perspective, you maybe get more strength. So it's important to not be in a state where you try to do too many things when you're experiencing difficulty. You need to be able to stay still for as much as possible. And once you decide with reason and with excitement what your next action should be, support it, allow it, and don't get stubborn. Let's say, for example, you are decided, let's say your ex-lover doesn't want you anymore, and you are decided, like, look, I'll just become a better person, and I'll talk sometime and I'll show them, like, look, I've changed. I'm a better person right now. They can be with me again. Maybe that's a potential scenario. I'm not saying it's impossible, but you shouldn't. Maybe that not maybe exciting for you. That's what I am addressing that, because out of fear of loss or out of tilt, so to say, you want to recover, or maybe the business, or let's say you have a business and it has gone bad, right? And you want to put more effort into it. You want to make it work, because some people can't stand losing. The tilt effect also happens when it comes to investments. Like some investors, let's say they lose some money and then they go emotional. And because of those emotions, they gamble. They think that the universe owes them something. And this is acting from unstable emotions, from emotions that are usually on the spectrum energy. And usually what happens, think from a physical standpoint, from a mechanic standpoint, you're trying to manipulate the mirror while you're signaling negative energy. The mirror cannot be lied to. It will just reflect who you are. It will just reflect your energy. So in some of those cases, things could actually get worse. I mean, in investments, for example, let's say you lost some money. It's best to to get into a state of calm, into a state of reason, look at things objectively, maybe consult with other people that have knowledge in the field and have as much clarity as possible, and then decide what are the next actions. Don't be attached to things. Don't be attached to money in an issue like that. Don't be attached to an ex-lover in an issue like that. Don't be attached to, yeah, look at how I was when I was young, how healthy I was in an issue like that. I mean, you have to have as much clarity and as much reason and as much objectivity as possible. And like I said, don't, and I'm repeating because I know it's hard for some people to comprehend from the first time. So I'm repeating some of the explanations from different angles. So it's easier and easier and simpler to understand. Don't confuse, from that perspective, excitement with anxiety. Let's say you have a breakup with an ex-lover and you miss them and you want to get back. And you see these kind of situations in movies as well, right? So, and I'm sure it happened to most of us, actually, although we don't want to admit it. And it's best to calm down. It's best to detach, because when you're attached to something, in a way, you contain fear energy in that thing. Because even love, I mean, let's say you love somebody, but true love is not obsession. True love is freedom. You allow them the freedom to decide what they want. You support them. If they don't want to talk with you, why not give them that gift, so to say? Look, I don't need to talk with you. I mean, I will continue to care about you. I'll work on my obsession. I understand that it is something that, in a way, has damaged my ego, my physical ego, because I thought money will be amazing forever, or I thought you will love me forever, or I thought I will be healthy forever. And situations change depending on what happened. And be as detached as possible, because that's how you gain objectivity. That's how you gain more peace, even in Buddhists, right? I mean, you know that Buddha was a big advocate of detachment. And all Buddhists, they talk a lot about detachment, because in a way, when you're attached to things, you cannot really have them. It's also a component of the formula of manifestation. When you're attached to your vision, in a way, you become obsessed with it. You have the potential danger of taking it, so to say, personal, and your energy is not calm anymore. Your energy is not one of arrival. You go into trying, you go into struggling. I can give an example with a date. Let's say you go on a date. If you become immediately too attached to the other person, it's usually not very, very good. You may be perceived as someone who has emotional issues. Let's say you are too attached to money. You may actually fall for some scams or some other schemes like that, where you can potentially lose even more money because you want to believe some things that may not be real, that may be too good to be true. And if it's something too good to be true, many times it's too good to be true. With manifestation, although it may look like to some that it's something too good to be true, it's just physics. Energy, vibration impacts everything, and it's fundamental. Your energy impacts the universe. And I don't want to go again. I mean, we talked about manifestation in module number one, but it's important to be detached, and it's important to be at peace as much as possible. Focus on those. Focus on the inside. Because although there may be turmoils, there may be storms on the outside, if you can keep your balance, those will pass. And I can give the example, which is much more fast-paced because we experience manifestation in a dream anyway. Let's say you are in the middle of a bad dream. If you calm yourself down, and you are calm within the dream becomes less and less bad. And maybe it becomes better and better. It's faster paced, but in a way, it's the same principle as with physical reality. How is it so far? Do you think it's good information? Is it helpful?
I think so. But I was wondering, is it okay to take some time to feel that negative emotion before getting to calmness?
Well, I'm not saying you should run away from negative emotions. And it's something that many people do. And I'm happy that you touched on the subject. In a way, how you change, the most effective way to change the negative emotion is through observation. Observation. I mean, you just can stay calm, observe the negative emotion. And by only the act of observing, you give it energy. And once you give it energy, it transforms. So let's say you have a bad feeling. I don't know what it is. Let's say you have some anxiety or you have some shame or guilt or something like that. You observe it. The more you observe it, the more you neutralize that negative vibration, that negative emotion. And you do it more and more through observation by paying energy to it. Until you can calm it down so it becomes clear as peace. Usually a good place to arrive is into a neutrality position from a position of dealing with a lot of negative energies. If you can reach neutrality, you win. You have like the first battle won, the most important battle. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. More questions, please?
You talked about being needy in a relationship. I was thinking on the flip side, how can we deal with someone that is trying to emotionally manipulate us?
Difficulty in relationships comes far more from what is not being said than from what is being said. Be truthful and be open. Just say how you feel. Just say how you think. You don't have to accuse the other person because that's, in a way, not nice. And you don't like that yourself. So respect the other person. But you can be open about how you feel and how you perceive some of the stuff that is happening. Maybe come up with solutions. There was a quote saying, if you love somebody, give them wings to fly, roots to come back, and reasons to stay. I think that's a very good approach. So give them wings to fly. Allow them to be free. Allow them to be who they are. Roots to come back, you can be open. You can communicate. Look, I want to have you in my life right now in the future, so to say. In the future present. Reasons to stay, this is, you know, of course, if you are nice with one person, if in a way from the relationship with you, that person gains value, they get benefits, of course, the chances are that they want to stay more with you. So in a way, I see that relationships nowadays are almost like bad therapy sometimes, because everybody comes with their own luggage, their own baggage, and they expect the other person to fix it. Or they say, I don't feel low. I need someone to make me feel loved, which is my favorite, so to say, in an ironic way. Well, if you don't feel love for yourself, you may get at some point, let's say, the feeling of appreciation from other person. But if you don't know how to appreciate yourself, you'll never have that permanent. You'll never have that sustained. So it will be like a black hole that can never be fulfilled. So my advice for those that want love is to start from the relationship with yourself. Get into a position where you love yourself. And if you love yourself, you'll actually know how to love others. But if you don't know how to love yourself, how can you know how to love others? I mean, you know yourself the best. It's impossible for somebody else to know you better than you do. If you don't know with all that information about you how to love yourself, how can you allow other person to love you? And how can you actually know how to love other person? That you know less information compared to how much you know about you. Does it make sense?
It does, yeah, I agree.
Cool. Any other questions?
Well, I was thinking of a more specific example that inflicts negative feelings from other people. So I hear a lot that people with borderline personality disorder or just very clingy people, I would say, they say this line, if you break up with me, I will kill myself. And that's a really difficult thing to deal with, that guilt. And I'm wondering how you can escape that situation because I can't find an answer myself.
Right. So, yeah, I heard about situations like that. So what I can say is that, I mean, most of the cases, I may be wrong because I haven't conducted a lot of research, but I believe, given current information, that most of the cases, it's a way to manipulate the other person into giving them more attention. And I mean, I heard some cases from people, and I mean, usually, of course, it doesn't work for the person that says, like, okay, if you break up with me, I'll kill myself. I mean, usually it creates even more separation, right? I mean, the other person end up actually being afraid of them in a way, afraid of any potential guilt. So they start ignoring them more and more. I think those people, in a way, if you are in the side of the person that deals with something like that, like let's say they have a lover or an ex-lover that threatens them, like, look, I will do terrible things if you break up with me. Important to stay calm, because the biggest problem is that they make you become emotional as well, if it makes sense. And it's important to stay calm and not feed that energy of desperation, because they come at you with desperate energy, like, look, I will do this terrible thing in case you don't give me satisfaction. And that's blackmail. That's emotional blackmail. That's logical blackmail. That's just blackmail. I mean, it's, of course, it's a negative act. You are calm, like Buddha, in my past example, when somebody came and slapped him. He was very, very calm and just asked politely, so what's next? In a way, that's the example. And you can have simple answers. I mean, less is more in this kind of case. It's important, I think, if you want to be nice, if you want to be kind with the person, it's not nice to ignore them. I mean, that's a response to ignore them. But in case somebody wants to blackmail you because he's obsessed or attached by you, it's more important to talk with them, but don't feed those negative energies of desperation, of blackmail, of trying to control you. Just stay calm and say politely, this is not something that I want. I want the best for you. And, you know, I want you to be happy. But right now, you are not the right partner for me. I want something else. And, you know, it's my free will. It's my right to have myself experience some other things, some other potential lovers. The more you're calm, the more you're calm down other person as well. And okay, maybe they'll have some insistence. They'll try one way, the other way. Okay, you can, in a way, you don't have to reply to everything they're saying. You know, you don't have to reply to everything. Sometimes with somebody who is mean or somebody who is, so to say, is getting down on your nerves, I think maybe ignoring is an appropriate response, because you don't have to take, so to say, damage from another person because the other person is not in balance. But in those cases, usually time and calmness work the best, because slowly that person will detach themselves from you, especially if you don't feed in a way, their emotional vacuum, their obsession. You're just calm. So in a way, it goes back to your inner world creates your outer world. Because if you are in balance yourself, that problem and that person will not persist so much. Maybe not at all. If you, in a way, react to the other person, if you go out of balance because that person comes without balance to you, and maybe you have still some attachments to the other person, and he or she may make you get out of balance, then that's when you feed that situation. But is it helpful? Is it answering your question?
Yeah, I think so. That sounds like a good approach. Thank you.
Welcome. More questions, please. Okay, I can also talk from the desperate side a bit. Like, and in case you are the person having maybe suicidal thoughts or stuff like that, look into help. Many, many times when you experience a lot of anxiety, a lot of issues that are emotional, it may be because you're dealing with heavy metals inside your body, and especially inside your brain. Those have a very corrosive effect. So look at your diet, and for extracting heavy metals, I gave already, it's taken from Anthony William, the recipe with wild blueberries, cilantro, and everything else. That's an elixir. If you drink it long enough, and I'm talking months and years, I've been drinking it myself for more than 3 years now, it will give you the ability to heal any kind of problems like that, that doctors would say are impossible to heal. And they will just prescribe you pills, unfortunately. Okay, that's it. More questions.
I think it's related to what you said earlier, but what if someone who has some kind of authority over us, like a boss or a parent or a teacher, inflicts a difficult situation on us? How can we combat this?
To be honest, I don't have a perfect relationship with my parents too. I mean, there are some things. So someone with authority, a boss or a parent, may give you a hard time. Well, I don't see a very easy solution out of it. Especially, let's say you're a child, or you know, you have to live with your parents, or you depend upon your parents. I mean, you need in a way to find the most balanced approach. I mean, for example, I even have difficulty sometimes with my parents right now, although I'm in a way independent. I'm fully independent, actually. No, not in a way. They still try to impose on me their projections. You need to find one girl and get married and have so many babies. Or you need to do that, you shouldn't do that. And like, look, it's my life. I'm almost 40 right now. What the heck, you know? Of course I love them, and I understand that they mean good, but I'm challenging them because I'm in a position where I don't need them anymore from, let's say, a life perspective. Like, I don't need to live with them. They cannot kick me out. I don't need their money or their food or stuff like that. Of course, that doesn't mean I can be a jerk, because I don't want to be a jerk, and I don't want to be a jerk. But in a way, you have to be nice with yourself before you are nice with the others. If you fail to be nice with yourself and you are nice with the others, you betray yourself. And the highest betrayal is self-betrayal. Let's say you are in a job that you like, but you have a bad boss. Well, the best way to confront it is to enter a state of vulnerability. Be calm, be relaxed, be in balance, and open yourself and let them know how you feel. Look, whenever you yell at me, you know, I'm feeling frustration. I'm feeling this kind of negative energy. Or You know, just explain to them how you feel, how it makes you feel. And usually that works. Most of the case, in case it's someone who insists, who is a jerk, you can take it to their boss. Why not? Because usually when you go to the last level of leadership, so to say, nobody wants a jerk around. In case the last boss, so to say, or the big boss in the company is still a jerk, maybe it's a good idea to find some other place, because you don't want to work in an environment like that. Does that answer your question, Andrei?
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. More questions, please.
I believe grief is probably one of the, so maybe the most difficult negative emotion to deal with. Do you have any helpful advice for that?
Okay, so the problem with losing, right? Losing somebody or something like that, right? Grieving.
Right.
Well, on a higher level, you never lose somebody, because we are all one. All spirit is one. And on a fundamental level, everyone is from spirit. So let's say you have a friend or someone like that, right? And you decided that the relationship doesn't work anymore, or maybe they decided that the relationship doesn't work, and right, you, because I'm sure you refer to grieving when it comes to people for the biggest part, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. In the case where you see that other person, maybe right now he's at the point in his or her life that they are an asshole, or they are not worthy of your time and energy right now, you can just accept the facts and face reality. We live in a world where there are more than 7 billion people. We have plenty of options. Some are better. You cannot hang out and be best friends with 7 billion people. Get into a higher vibration, and you will notice how you attract better and better people that are a match for your current energy. So that's how sometimes relationships don't last, because some people grow in those relationships. And they need, in a way, higher energy people as well, to whom they can have a win-win relationship, to whom they can have a more equal level, so to say, balance. That's one of the, in case you are the other person, that let's say somebody decides you've been an asshole or something like that, you've been a bad person, right? And they ignore you, try to apologize. I mean, be honest about it. I mean, if you actually made a mistake, say to them, look, I've been thinking about that, and I admit that I was bad. In case, you know, they're worth it, and you want to have a friendship with them, like I was wrong, I learned, I've changed in that regard, I want you to forgive me. Or it may be the case where somebody just got, so to say, frustrated with you for the wrong reasons. Let's say somebody got into a situation where they are upset with you, and you've done them nothing wrong. Maybe it's an opportunity. Maybe it's great luck that you lost them. It's like the same example is if somebody borrows you $20 and it just disappears. Maybe it's a favor they did to you. For only 20, you managed to get one person out of your life without any other issues. Does it make sense?
Yes, it does.
So the bigger problem is the energy of lack of abundance, the energy of, because that's grieving more about, in a way. It's like, look, there's no more opportunity for me. Look, there's no more abundance. And then, like, at the more core level, you're vibrating, you're signaling the mirror of reality, the mirror of the universe, that, look, my vibration is one of lack. My vibration is one of loss. And of course, the signal back will be more of lack and more of loss, the reflection of the mirror. So look at that. When you understand that there's always opportunity, always opportunity, you don't feel so much needs actually anymore. You don't feel so many needs. And realize that you cannot have too many friends and too many people in your life anyways. It's much more important to have quality relationships with people that are special to you and you have a win-win relationship than to just have 1,000 friends like on social media and, you know, you basically are like strangers. You don't have any trust and, you know, in any other form, in any format whatsoever. That's a recipe for feeling lonely for sure. When you have, you know, 10,000 friends and no one is actually special, you cannot trust anybody. Much more lonely than having a great friend that you can fully trust and you can fully share things with them. Does it make sense?
It does.
Great. More questions, please?
I'm sorry, I can't think of anything else right now. Well, I guess another type of desperate situation would be being addicted to hard drugs and not knowing how to get out of that situation. Do you have any advice for that type of situation?
Well, this kind of problem is usually that person already being decided with what they're going to do. So, in a way, somebody that smokes, if they still smoke, deep down, they want to smoke. Because if they wouldn't, if they truly wouldn't want to smoke, they wouldn't smoke. They can invent reasons, they can invent excuses, so to say. But ultimately, if they don't want to smoke, nobody can really force them to smoke. And I think it's the same with drugs. I understand that withdrawing can give you, so to say, extremely difficult challenges, especially when we're talking about very hard drugs like heroin and some other substances like that. However, it comes down to self-control and self-mastery. And ultimately, it comes down to decision. You really want to stop or not? If you really want to stop, make an anchor. Look, I am in the present. I really want to stop. I will stay in this present where I'm stopping. And usually it should be enough. It doesn't have to be hard. It doesn't have to be challenging. It doesn't have to be, let's say, dramatic. What happens, like with some people that are able to stop smoking and then go back to smoking again, is that they make a decision and then they make another decision. At one point in time, they make a decision like, look, I will stop smoking. And they start smoking, maybe for days, maybe for weeks, maybe for months, maybe for years. And then they reconsider their decision. Like, yeah, maybe it's not so bad to smoke. You know, one cigarette wouldn't kill me, didn't kill anybody, blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, and all people that deal with addictions know this. I mean, one part in them doesn't want them to stop. If they're aligned, if they're fully decided and fully committed, I will stop, they will stop easily. And of course, marketing and media doesn't really help because they don't want to destroy the cash cow, so to say. Like with smoking, yeah, it's hard to smoke, blah, 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 blah. You need to take these pills or you need to take these products. They don't want to empower you. Usually society doesn't like to empower you. They marketing wants a society of victims. The government wants a society of victims because then they need help. And then, of course, they need us. But ultimately, it's personal decision. It's personal decision. Who wants to stop doing something bad, breaking a bad habit, will do it. No problem. And if they don't want to do it, nothing will help. Nothing. No tool, no trick, no technique, no nothing.
I agree that it's a decision, but maybe Maybe you have some advice for those moments of weakness when you think about taking it on again. You're going to try something difficult and you want to get that satisfaction from drugs or another addiction. What can we do now, then?
Well, I mean, yeah, it's in a way a good example because in a way it's very related to our topic, which is mostly dealing with negative emotions, right? Because when we feel withdrawal, we're experiencing a negative vibration, a negative emotion. And we don't have so many words for all the emotions that we experience. And myself, I have two approaches when I have to go through some negative states. Number one, which is usually the most effective, but it's not the easiest, I would say, is to just enter a state of calm and meditate, observe. In a way, this is the one that you go toward God the most, because God is the ultimate observer. And when you become an observer as well, in silence, you can close or not your eyes. In a way, you go near God more and more. And that helps a lot. The other way is to distract yourself. I mean, I don't really like it, but it's still effective in case you cannot stand being in silence in that kind of moment. If it's like a rush, right? Like something rushing you from the inside. No, I have to do something. I have to smoke. Maybe it's a good time to put one of those meditations, or to listen to some nice music, or to see one of your favorite movies, or to eat some healthy, good food. Maybe it's a good time to be good to yourself, to call a good friend that you know is also always helpful and positive, and be nice with them. So maybe it's a good time for giving yourself a treat, so you feel a little bit better. And you just keep doing it until that storm is over. And you keep the decision of stopping. Hey, I made that decision. I will not be a weak person. I will not go back to my decision. It's pretty simple. Don't make it complicated, because the moment weakness is allowed, that moment, basically, you just became weaker in a way. At the core level, at the fundamental level, at the spirit level, you are 100% in control. You are 100% godlike. However, it's a soul experience. It's an emotional experience. So the universe and God allows whatever it is that you prefer. But it's up to you. It's up to your decision. Even if you, let's say you smoke, then you stop, and then you decide that, you know what? I'd rather smoke. It's much better to accept all the consequences, to accept all the, let's say, pluses and minuses. That's why with my diet, sometimes I still eat meat. Sometimes I still have a dessert. Very rarely, but because I get some pleasure, I get some comfort, and it's not so bad if I do it rarely. So maybe be in a position of like that, when, because I have, in my opinion, more important battles to deal with than, you know, just fighting a little crave on something. You know, so, but however, I advise to take full responsibility and take full awareness and take full empowerment in a situation like that. And you will find it much more easier to fight, to find the right balance that is for you. Let's say maybe you want to smoke just a few cigarettes a day until less and less you have those cravings and you build muscle and you can find a moment where you can stop for good and you know it. Or maybe you can even smoke a cigar every couple of weeks or something like that. So it's a much better perspective when you find some balance and you take full empowerment and full responsibility. Is that helpful?
It is. Thank you. And I liked a lot what you said about having a good friend beside you. And it made me think, I know there are some people that feel extremely lonely and they feel like they don't have any friends. That can be a very difficult situation. What can we do if we find ourselves in that situation?
Well, if you want somebody and you feel lonely, I advise you get a pet, you get a cat or a dog. I'm not kidding. I mean, I myself have a cat. And not because I'm lonely, but I have it because, you know, it gives me a lot of love, so to say. And it's unconditional love from a pet. And there is no downside. So, I mean, be good friends with a pet. And you'll feel less lonely. And of course, when you feel good, you attract other people. People start coming into your life. Because, I mean, as you noticed, nobody wants to be with a miserable person for long. I mean, it's nice to try to, so to say, raise them up and boost their morale once in a while. But at some point, they get tired of it. And, of course, they come with a high energy state and they get into a lower energy state. And they notice that, and nobody really likes that, right? It's not beneficial for them. However, if you are in a very good mood and you have great energy, you actually have that effect of relaxing people, relaxing other people. And they want to be in your presence. Not necessarily to take, they can come to give, no problem, which is even greater, which is even better. And it's best probably to have a relationship where everyone is a giver. Of course, you know how to take as well, how you accept receiving. But if you don't give anything and you just want to take, you're not a great friend. I mean, you wouldn't want to be a friend with someone like yourself if you are in that position. So logically, there is no reason to feel lonely in a way. There are so many solutions to eliminate that from your life. With a pet, of course, you still have to give them food. You still need to take care of them. So you still need to give something or become a better person, somebody who you would want to be with yourself. And you will never be afraid of ending up lonely ever again. Does that answer the question?
Yes, thank you. I like that advice. And I think having a pet, especially in these times with the pandemic going on, is actually a very good idea, since social interactions are very limited.
They're not so limited, in my opinion. I mean, we have cell phones. We are as connected. I mean, we have too many ways to connect with each other. We don't use them to have meaningful dialogue. I think that's the problem. Like, we have the tools. We don't have the meaning. And I have... just saying, we humans don't really have the meaning. They don't know how to communicate in a way where they feel connection, where they synergize love with other people. I mean, if there is a want from people, I can talk more about that kind of stuff in the future. But I prefer to keep it to manifestation and to spirituality, because this is what I want to be known for. More questions, please.
So death is something most of people are scared of, and I have two questions about this topic. What if out of a sudden your doctor gives you a date and he says that that's all the days you have left till you die? How do you make peace with the fact that you are only a couple of steps away from your death? And also, how can people in general stop being afraid of death? Because there are people who are anxious even to go out of, to get out of their homes because they are afraid that something bad will happen to them. How can people be less scared of death?
Okay. Well, first and foremost, we put too much authority in doctors nowadays, and that's a problem. Because doctors are people too, and many times they can be wrong as well. I mean, I have a personal example. 10 years ago, some doctors, which were actually some of the best doctors, considered to be some of the best doctors in my country and in Germany, told me that in 5 or 10 years, I would be paralyzed in a wheelchair. I decided not to listen to them. And it didn't happen because of my arthritis, and I healed it since then. And they would have said, it's impossible. But look at me. This is the truth. I'm healed from that illness, from that disease. And you have to understand that in a way, placebo and nocebo is so important. So in the future, I believe there will be some consequences on the pharma industry when it comes to the problems that are happening right now in society, and nobody really looks at them, because right now they still care more about making money than they care about health. They still care more about their ego than when it comes to truth. And the truth is that anyone can heal themselves. Anyone. There is a way. Maybe miraculous sometimes, but miracle exists. Miracle is the natural state of the universe. So, in a way, it's like, you know, the physics of the universe. The universe is just a reflection of who you are. And someone, you know, like, let's call it troll energy. Someone as a troll, maybe a doctor with authority, comes and say like, yes, the mirror will just trick you. If you smile at it, it will not smile back at you. If you choose to believe it, it's your choice. And the universe has to follow you in that regard. The universe just says yes. The universe loves you unconditionally, whatever it is that you prefer. And you choose inside. That's what you receive. So you have a choice. And the best doctors know that they cannot heal other people. Whether it's Western medicine doctors, whether it's some other more natural practitioners, or like, for example, from traditional Chinese medicine and stuff like that. The best doctors, maybe shamans, they know they cannot heal anybody. They can give them a way, but the individual, the person, has to heal themselves through belief, through emotion, through nutrition, with water. That's probably the response to the first question. The second question, the fear of death. In a way, death is just a transformation. It's like the end of a dream. Physical reality is just a dream. Even science knows that. Without the observer, there isn't matter. There isn't something solid. It's just energy that behaves in a way where it gives us the illusion of physical, something very, very solid experience. But it's not really solid. It's just an illusion that is very nice that we experience through the mask of the physical brain. When we die, we disconnect from the physical brain and we rejoice fully the higher mind and the spiritual self. And like I said, it's like waking up from a dream. And you go just say, and like, okay, this is who I am. It's a longer dream. I mean, usual dream lasts maybe minutes or tens of minutes or maybe hours to some people, I don't know. This one lasts for dozens of years or maybe more than 100 years. But in comparison to an infinite being that you are on the other side, is not such a big thing anyway, because most of us have already had hundreds of lives. Most of us being at this time on Earth, we are pretty advanced souls and spirits. We know what you're doing from the other side. So death is not such a big deal. And for many people, is actually almost like a celebration, because many people have a difficult life. I heard that some species of, let's call them extraterrestrial intelligence, spirits, celebrate with somebody's dying. Maybe in the future, we will celebrate. Yes, he just got back to spiritual reality. He or she got back to the spiritual reality. So it's another accomplished life. We'll meet again in spirit or in dreams. And we will have a lot of fun. Not knowing how it is on the other side allows us to have a physical experience and allows us to fully decide. And it's another limitation put upon this, let's say, tough school of work that is very respected among spirit. That's it. Nothing else. Does it answer your second question as well?
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
More questions, please. I can add that although it's fascinating to know on the other side how it is, if you are here, you should back in, because this place, and from what I know, being at this time on Earth when there is so much change and transformation, this was some of the most sought after places. It's like getting into Princeton or Harvard in some of the best classes. So don't rush out. Stay in this experience. If your spirit wants you to rush out, you will notice. I mean, you will just die in your sleep or something without anything else. And you'll go back. So then don't take any stupid actions, if you ask me. If you are here, you want to be here. And there is a great amount of benefit for you being here and learning how to manifest in physical reality. On the other side, you cannot enjoy eating an apple. You cannot enjoy physical sex. You wanted to be here. The idea is to combine the two realms and to ascend into a higher realm than the spirit, which is something that the Buddhists wanted to escape the cycle of reincarnation. They wanted to ascend into spirit, physicality. More questions, please.
Do you think that besides meditating, it would be helpful to go to therapy to get over a bad situation?
That can be helpful. That can be helpful. I don't like pills. I don't like chemical pills. So I don't like Xanax and other drugs that are created in a way where they give you some benefit, but you become addicted to them and then you have to take them all your life. I don't like those pills. However, if it makes you feel better, yeah, go to a psychologist and you can talk about your own issues. If it's something that you have excitement for. If you don't have excitement, it's just something that society does. I mean, I don't really trust it. I mean, like I said, I don't really trust popular things. I don't trust McDonald's. I don't trust the regular life career path of people. Like, yes, you have to work all your life. Then you get into a pension and then you start living your life when you're 60 something. Yay. I don't really trust that. I don't trust the popular choices so much. And the most successful people that there are usually are the people that were not afraid to stand against the masses. They were not afraid to be themselves. So don't go there just because it's something popular and many people do it. Go there if you are excited about it. If not, you talk with a friend. You can go and find a lot of free materials. You can research. You can meditate. You can listen to music vibrations. There are so many choices. Do whatever it is that is most exciting for you. You can listen to music. If you want to heal, for example, negative energies, I can recommend you this part. Just a sec. I'll put a bit from it. And I'll give you a link. Just a second. Audio. Maybe you can find somebody, this is a loop for you. We may or may not include it in the final product, that can listen to and can heal emotional distress. But I think it could be quite good, actually, some audio like this. And there are anymore like that. Like, for example, I was listening sometimes when I was dealing with, let's say, emotions after doing so many ceremonies of ayahuasca. I usually was focusing sometimes on the heart chakra, and I can give you some of the stuff I was like hearing, and I think it helped me a lot. Let me find. I like to focus more on the heart and on the second chakra, sacral. And that's how you process a lot of negative energies.
Can you talk a little bit more about chakras for people that are not familiar at all with this part of Eastern arts?
Well, chakras are vortexes of energy, and on the body we have seven. We have some other chakras that are outside of our physical body, and it's still us. Honestly, it's so easy to find information on chakras. I mean, I will just rehearse the same information. So I want to get into only some specifics. In my opinion, the chakras that are in a way more important and you should focus more are the second, the fourth, and the sixth, because they are correspondent with the TNs from the Eastern arts. So the second one is related to power, to immunity, to health, to sexual energy, and it's also in a way very close to the center of physical energy, chi. And I want to focus on that when I need some more power to break through some emotions, so to say. When I want power, I want to focus on the second. When I process more water-like, emotion-like emotions, I focus on the fourth. Like, this is where I process the sadness. This is where I process the things that are a bit more, let's call it emotional. So this is the fourth chakra, and it's the Zhongtian, like I said in the past. It's the middle point. But the problem with yoga is they start focusing on that, on the heart. And in my experience, they shouldn't. They should start with the second. The sixth chakra is the third eye correspondent. I don't really focus so much on that. For me, it's already pretty developed. And I know it's exciting less. Yes, I'm opening my third eye and I'll have visions and blah, 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 blah. In my experience, I don't really care about visions anymore. After being to so many ayahuasca ceremonies, I learned that the point is not to have a vision. The point is to be present in a ceremony and to start seeing the real light, to start seeing the auras of people, start feeling fully the energy. I mean, sometimes when I have, maybe if you have a headache or you have some related issues like that, or you need more inspiration, if you, maybe it's good for when you're out of ideas, focus on the sixth, and you can just look on YouTube for sixth chakra, third eye chakra, something like that, and you can, but I don't really use it so much. I use the most the second and the fourth. Is that helpful?
Yes, it is. Thank you for clarifying.
Cool. More questions, please.
Are there any exercises we can do to go through difficult situations? Like, I've heard that if you smile, you trick your brain into believing that you are happy. But are there more powerful exercises we can do?
In my experience, they don't really long for very long, because, I mean, the most determining part is your state of being. So let's say you are in a depression and you smile for 5 minutes. Okay, you feel a little bit better, but then you get back to frowning. Is that your experience as well? Yes or no?
No.
No, so you can smile and then you can just keep your smile and that's it?
Yeah, you are right. It's fine.
Okay, so I mean, that's a fine trick to change your state of being for a couple of seconds. But in a way, people look too much for tricks. They look too much for tricks. And you should be focused on the present. So the present, in a way, is the most important principle. Be in the present. Be here and now, because this is the only place you ever are. It's easy to to get distracted into busy work. So let's say you feel a state that is unpreferred. Just pay attention to it, observe it. Don't run away from it, don't be scared. It will not hurt you. It's already, in a way, tricking you of and lowering your vibration. And, you know, potentially, not only potentially, but making you receiving reflections that are a match to that vibration. So observe it. The only act of observing means you are nourishing it, means you are growing that emotion into something of a higher vibration. So let's say you feel some anxiety. You feel, give me a feeling that you have or an emotion that you have the most challenge with, Andrei.
I don't know, maybe anxious, maybe when I have too many things to do and can't find the time to do it all.
Well, look more into that state of being, look more into that emotion and observe it. And the more you observe it, the less and less power it will have over you. Because then you can relax. And not only that, but the only act of observing, it will make that energy grow into something else. It will make it transform. You cannot, in a way, hide from it. And people try the trick, you know, like the trick of hide and seek. Yes, I will just run away from this emotion. I'll go to the bar and drink, you know, big amounts of alcohol or whatever, and I will just run away from it. And then tomorrow is there as well, you know, so you, and you have a bad headache. So it's not very effective. Just stop being afraid of it. Understand that it's an opportunity in a way. It's an opportunity. There is this emotion that you have the opportunity to grow into something else that is much better, much brighter, and much bigger. You can grow your anxiety into a state of total calmness that will give you a lot of clarity, that will make you become much more effective, and maybe even more important, it will give you much more relaxation and peace of mind and ultimately pleasure. So look at it, observe it. Only observe it if you are still a non-believer. Observe it for 5 minutes and notice how it's already changing. Trust me, if you observe it for more time, it will change even further, and it will make it, and it will become better and better and better and better until you reach some higher vibrations, until you reach maybe peace, until you reach maybe joy, until you reach, let me think, ecstasy.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. More questions, please.
Do you have any advice for people that are prone to have panic attacks from negative feelings?
Well, a panic attack is when you have a negative emotion and you feel a compulsion to act on it, where you have a bad experience of energy and you think that you need to do something about it. The best advice would be to focus on your breathing. Relax by breathing. Take long, deep, and very calm, soft breathing. Breathe with your lower belly. And observe everything that is inside your body. And just stay still. Don't do anything until you are calm, until you have reason. That's it. More questions, please.
Do you think we are able to manifest something beyond us, like a greater good? So let's say for the current situation, to manifest the pandemic going away?
Well, if you want to change the world, change yourself. And that's it. That's my advice. I mean, there are some things on a, so to say, mass consciousness level that you cannot impact so much from the outside. You will impact them from the inside if you change yourself. So don't feel the need of doing so many actions, in a way. It's much better to gain insight and wisdom on the inside. And with that, it's okay. I think we have enough content for this module. I will address the exercise. So the exercise that I thought of is to make a commitment whenever you experience negative energies, whenever you have a bad mood, don't do many things. Just calm down, meditate, or listen to some music, or watch a movie. Don't even call maybe people that much, unless you need to. And wait to do more action when you are already at calm, when you are already within reason of emotion. So just make a commitment, and that will be enough. And you will know in that moment that you made a commitment, and that will be the exercise. Sounds good?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. So I'll hear you on Monday.
All right.
On this module.
That sounds good.
Have a good day. All the best. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.